You are listening to the 1% Christian, the daily Bible study where we get together for 1% of our day. We study God's word, and then we head out to the remaining 99% to do something amazing with this life that God's given us. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio with Sound of Heaven Church in Deer Park, New York. I invite you to check us out at soh.church. While you're there, download our mobile app. We've got a digital Bible. We've got all of our teachings. We've got a lot of great resources and online community that you can communicate with and be a part of. And if you're listening anywhere where you get your podcasts, like, share, subscribe, turn on your notifications, leave a 5-star review. That helps out a ton. And we are continuing with our study. If you're listening in real time, you know it is Holy Week. It is the week that we acknowledge that is Jesus's final week. As he entered into Jerusalem, we just came out of Palm Sunday, right? He enters into Jerusalem. He goes straight to the church, straight to the temple, starts flipping over some tables and ministering as he does. And ultimately, we know he's arrested and he is crucified. And our study for the next few days, which is a bit of a bonus because we're done with the Gospel of Matthew, but I like to do this every year. It's to really look at the seven statements of Jesus on the cross. And like we said yesterday, you can really tell a lot about a person, about the way they handle themselves when it really gets tough, right? And there was no tougher time in Jesus' earthly ministry than when he was on the cross. Not only from a physical standpoint, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was nailed to the cross. I mean, just thinking about that, I think this weekend I've kicked it around. I'm going to let the whole family watch The Passion of the Christ. My older kids have seen it, but I'm going to bring us off because I think that movie really puts it as close to the perspective as we can possibly get. I think I shared with you that I watched that movie prior to really giving my life over to God and making that decision. But that just, it struck me to the core. And I remember the movie ended, the credits went, and I looked around. I was the only one in the movie theater. And it struck me. And honestly, it teed up the opportunity for me to really receive Jesus. And sometimes really acknowledging what he went through is what it takes. And what we're going to study today, the second thing that we see Jesus saying on the cross. Now, all of these seven statements that we're going to study, understand that some of the Gospels account for them and some of them don't. But when you compile them together, there are seven specific statements. And yesterday, we started with many times is the most difficult for us. And that's when Jesus looks down and, like we said, he's getting mocked. Not only did he bear the physical agony of what happened on the cross, but he was mocked by everyone. He was deserted by his friends, and then you have people walking past the cross, and these are the crowds, these are the religious leaders, and even the Romans, of course, mocked him. They were, gambling for his clothes. And they would stand there and they would say, you're supposed to be the Messiah. You're supposed to be the chosen one. You're the Son of God if you are, which, right, the enemy will always try to put an if in your mind to cause doubt. He says, if you're the Son of God, why isn't God saving you right now? Right? And if you pursue your faith, right, that is not a recipe for things being perfect. I try to lay that groundwork for everybody that I talk to and I introduce to the Christian faith. It doesn't mean that things are going to be perfect, but what it does mean is that you are going to be able to embrace a greater purpose because it's through Christ, the way, the truth, and the life that we really discover, one, our identity, but two, I guess, which goes hand in hand with identity, it's who God thinks we are, because who God declares is a better word, that we are, is really our true selves. But pursuing God is not going to ensure you a ticket to an easy life. Jesus himself said that in this world you'll have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. It means that any situation, and this is what the point I try to get across to those who are, you know, exploring the faith, and even those that are in the faith, is that doesn't mean things are going to be perfect, not even close. But it means that you're going to have a strength inside of you to overcome. And it's in that overcoming of the things that are difficult that you begin to find your true calling, your true testimony in life. Because nobody wants to listen to somebody who's never been through it. And you never really understand who you are until you push the limits of who you think you are. And that only happens when you're tested. And scripture tells us that the trying of your faith produces patience. And when patience has its perfect work, what? You become mature and strong and you lack nothing. It doesn't mean you don't hit situations where you take a step back. It doesn't mean you don't get knocked down. But it means that while you're down there, you can get back up knowing that that is not your permanent place. And I hope that makes sense to you this morning. That whether it's by the actions of somebody else or by your own accord, if you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you shouldn't be, if you find yourself in a situation where you don't want to be, where maybe the results of your actions are coming back to bite you, understand that that is not your place. There is no condemnation for those who love the Lord. See, condemned means that there's no choice, there's no chance, you're done. That doesn't exist in the kingdom. You cannot be condemned, which means that you are not destined for destruction. You're destined, what, to be a partaker in the victory. And you say, I sure don't feel that way right now. But today we're going to go to what is a very popular account, and we are going to see what Jesus' reaction is to those who were also crucified with him. Many of us know that Jesus wasn't the only one on the cross that day. There were actually two thieves, two rebels that were on the cross. And Jesus' reaction to these men tells us a lot. And this is where the second statement of Jesus on the cross comes in. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 23 today, starting with Luke 23. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. See, this guy is looking for a ticket out, but at the same time, he's mocking Jesus. And he's saying, if you are the Messiah, get us out of here. Get yourself out of here. And again, that's a fallacy. I've had people tell me when things went wrong in my life, and trust me, they do, just like in your life at times. I've had people say, wow, God wasn't with you at that time. And it's just ridiculous. Sometimes I correct it, sometimes I just, whatever. But I've had that stated on multiple occasions. I've had people very close to me say, wow, you've got some bad luck, don't you? I don't understand. You just go to church. You go to church all the time. You're a pastor. How can this happen to you? Again, it's a misunderstanding that somehow, you know, you get into a jam, whether it's your own fault or whether things just happen, that somehow it means that God has left you. And that's not true. God will never leave you nor forsake you. But here we have two men, both of them guilty. Both of them just flat out guilty. And one of them joins the crowd on the ground. He's got no leg to stand on. You think that he would, you know, see some commonality, but no, he wants his ticket out of there. And rest assured, if Jesus had granted him it, just based upon his heart, chances are that he's not sticking around. He was about self. He says, you're the Messiah? Get you and us out of here. Let's go. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come in to your kingdom. And our focus turns to the thief that jumps right in and says, "Don't you fear God? We're guilty. This man has done nothing wrong." And he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, "This man has done nothing wrong." He acknowledges Jesus for who he is. And I want you to see the process of what's going on here. And this is the second statement that we'll cover. And I'm just going to say it now, and then we'll go through some stuff here. And many of you know what it is already, right? The thief says to Jesus, "Please remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answers him. He says, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And if you allow this story, this account, to do so, it should be very, very encouraging to you for a few reasons. But first, before we even get into that, let's look at the process here. The thief says, "Don't you fear God? We are wrong." He is not. So understand that first and foremost, there is a reverence for God, which means a healthy fear, a healthy respect. I often hear atheists say, "Oh, well, you want a God who is a God that fears you." No, God is not a God that instills terror. An abusive father instills terror. An abusive father instills an unhealthy fear because they're unpredictable. They're unjust. We don't serve an unpredictable and unjust God. We serve a God who is very predictable, who is very loving, who is very just, whose mercy triumphs over judgment, which we see here. Both of these men were destined to be condemned. They were condemned in their own right, in this life and the next. But look at what happens. This man, in his broken state, expresses a true reverence for God and an acknowledgement of Jesus' sacrifice, that he had done nothing wrong, yet he finds himself in the same position as you and I. And that should be a sobering visual too, because all of us, to some extent, are guilty of sin, right? All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we don't serve a high priest that hasn't been tempted by all things and challenged by all things that you and I have. As a matter of fact, he was tempted, yet he did not sin. He overcame that temptation. And Scripture tells us that we will not be tempted beyond things that we can bear. As a matter of fact, God will always give us, this is in 1 Corinthians, a way out. Well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And although having him in our life doesn't give us a license to sin, it gives us a license from it. Because every day you and I are going to fall short. And that's what the second part, the second acknowledgement of this thief is he acknowledges his own mistakes, his own flaws, his own shortcomings. He says, "Man, I am guilty. And I deserve the punishment." Jesus does not. But then he says to Jesus what? He says, "When you come into your kingdom, take me with you." Right? That is the acknowledgement here. He says, "Take me with you." But first, he acknowledges him as Lord and Savior. He says, "When you come into your kingdom, Lord," he declares Jesus as Lord and Savior, the only one who can take him into the kingdom. The other thief couldn't do it. Pontius Pilate couldn't pardon him and bring him into the kingdom. It was just Jesus. So how fortunate was it, this man, to be condemned by the world, yet right next to Jesus? There's a message in that. And Jesus answers him, doesn't delay. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. For all of you perfectionists out there, that everything's got to be perfect, and then I'll do it, and then it'll be this, and then God will love me. That's all bunk. That's not the way God operates. God's not looking for perfect. He's looking for willing. And what we see is the difference between these two thieves is one is willing to have a reverence for God, a healthy fear and respect, and putting himself in proper position. One is willing to admit their mistakes, not just trying to get out of the punishment. So often we have to test ourselves when we get into a jam, and we have to, you know, as we cry out to God, and we have to realize, like, are we really looking to change our life, or are we just looking to avoid the punishment of what we've done? Because all of our actions have consequences, right? This wasn't the case for the thief speaking to Jesus from his heart. He says, I am a sinner. I don't deserve much. I think about the phrase, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but say the word, and my servant shall be healed. There's a position of humility saying, hey, I'm messed up. But Jesus, you could circumvent my flaws. You can forgive me. It's part of what made it's so clear that Jesus positioned himself as God is putting him in position to forgive sins. So there's a reverence. There's an acknowledgement of the mistakes. And then there's the declaration of Jesus as Lord and Savior. You're the only one that can save me here. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. He didn't have to get off the cross and go get water baptized. He didn't have to get off the cross and make amends for all the mistakes that he made. He didn't have to do any of that. He couldn't. He couldn't do it. Otherwise, Jesus would have turned to him and said, hey, it's too late. But just the confession of his mouth positioned him for the kingdom. And that's what it says in Romans 10:9, right? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, then you shall be saved. Well, this thief got a new identity, got a new title, got a new position, and got a new destination because he properly aligned himself with God. He acknowledged his own faults, and then he declared Jesus as Lord. And he realized that the sacrifice of Jesus was beyond anything that he could do for himself, beyond anything that anyone could do for him. Yet Jesus doesn't hesitate. Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. And that's my prayer for you today, is that you would properly align yourself with a reverence for God, realizing that in any situation, what he can do for you is better than anything that you could do for yourself, anything that anybody else could do for you. And to acknowledge your mistakes, that's a healthy reverence for God, but also a healthy acknowledgement, saying, I'm not all that in a bag of chips, right? You say, I already know that. I already know I'm bad. Well, there's a difference. Are you condemning yourself every day, or are you acknowledging your mistakes and looking to get better? Because God is faithful to be right there at your level, to be with you in your worst times, like Jesus was right next to these men, and to help you to overcome, but also help you to find a way out, to find a way and your position in his kingdom. And that's done through the declaration of Jesus as Lord. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Didn't hesitate. Didn't account for all the bad things that this man ever did. He said, you want in? You're in. And it's hard for our mind to fathom that because we want to keep score, right? But what does Jesus say? That love keeps no record of wrongs. True love, that agape love that we all strive for, goes beyond anything that we could ever do. And we see Jesus' love takes a moment from his own agony and his own pain to acknowledge someone calling out to him. Call out to Jesus today. Say, God in heaven, I have a healthy reverence for you. I know you're greater than anything I could ever imagine. But I want to acknowledge my mistakes. And where I'm imperfect, you're perfect. Say, today, I declare with my mouth, Jesus as Lord, that he died for me, that he rose for me. That's you, to say amen. And there's no doubt, today you are a partaker of the kingdom and his paradise. And that could be extended to this world and the next. That's why we say go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. Amen. I'm Pastor J.D. Ambrosio, Sound of Heaven Church, Deer Park, New York. Check us out at soh.church, the 1% Christian. Go out and do something amazing for Christ's sake. I love you guys. We're going to continue with our Holy Week study tomorrow. Have an awesome, awesome day.